Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy.
What Hello. Is up, brother?
Just a dreary kind of day.
Boy, it sure is.
Yeah, you're all bundled up, and Mike was trying to call you out, and I'm like, why? It's awful outside.
It just looked like Ropp was dressed for snow, and it's not snow.
Well, I have a reason for the way I'm dressed today. Do you guys want to know what it is?
You were outside?
No one really cares, but...
No.
I have a stocking cap on today.
Yeah.
And big winter boots.
I do have my boots.
And you're
and I've got a hoodie.
Yeah, it's
and
like,
I haven't showered.
It kind of feels like you're going to a game.
A game?
Yeah.
Like what kind of game?
Like maybe a high school football game or something. You're going to be outside or, you know.
Boy, I tell you, you'd have to drag me to a high school football game.
I understand. But you understand, you've got a real casual, I'm going to be outdoors and comfortable sort of vibe. Maybe a kid's, like a niece's or a nephew's soccer game. How about that? Does that go down any better?
Well, they live in San Diego and it's like 70 degrees.
Okay, so let's try number three. Maybe you've got some outdoor errands that you have to run. How about that? You're going to be walking
You have to go to an outdoor mall, like the Bridgeport Mall, where you got to walk outside to go into different shops. Maybe that's the reason.
Well, you named two places that... You would never really catch me dead at.
No, probably not. But I just.
So you're wrong.
It was more of just like I'm doing.
Because I mean, Bridgeport.
I'm doing the Andy Carson thing. Like you're dressing for this occasion.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love how they relate to me with that. They show the picture of him with his raincoat on or
this is
shorts.
Called winter solstice. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Well, no, I had to go spend some time in our house, which is gutted. And it's, you know, there's construction going on.
Yeah.
And there's no heat.
Oh, well, there you go. Hence the boots and the stocking cap.
So I had to go talk to the guys, and we're hanging out over there and doing all the things.
Doing manly things where there are tool belts
involved.
No.
Oh, those guys, yeah. I mean, the builders, but not me.
No.
They just have questions for me. I just come in and, like, crack the whip.
You just carry around a pencil, like, write something on the wall from time to time.
They're like, hey, do you want this or that? I want that. Hey, do you want this or that? Call my wife.
And that.
So anyway, that's why I'm dressed warm today. See, I told you no one cared.
No, but hey, at least now we know. And as G.I. Joe has told me many times, knowing is half the battle. Yeah, now I'm wearing a light, a knit sweater, if you will.
You know what Mike's wearing? Just t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, that's the way Mike rolls.
Every day.
Yeah. I have a jacket too.
And I went down to get myself, I had to go in early because normally Rip City Grill, the delicious sandwiches.
They moved.
Yeah, all the Moody food carts are down.
Yeah.
And so I thought they were gone now because normally by the time I roll in, they're gone. They stop at like 2. So I haven't eaten there in forever.
I haven't either.
And
they
have
a standalone restaurant now.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Is that like over in Selwood or?
It's deeper east side than that. I can't remember exactly where it was.
That's my main dog, Clint.
Yeah. You know, he sent me a text the other day. He saw the red panda at the zoo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I was.
Did he have a picture?
Yeah, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, it pops up from Clint, and I was like, "Wow, that's." I haven't gotten a message for him forever, and it was the photo of the red panda. And according to him, that's the red panda at the zoo.
There's no red panda there.
I haven't seen it, but anyway, so I had to be here early, for a meeting of some sort.
Meetings.
Yeah. So
I love meetings.
Oh, they were wonderful. So
I tell you what,
it actually was a pretty good meeting. We closed a deal.
Let's do a parlay.
Yeah.
Let's say I have like a noon meeting
mm-hmm.
and then I have to go shopping at Bridgeport Village and then I have to go to a high school football game.
Yeah.
Shoot me.
It's over.
Those three you've named in the first 4 minutes, three things that I hate more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, not the top three, but you know,
it's in the conversation. I will say though that, the meeting that we had, the guy that was in their boat, it wasn't your traditional meeting. It worked a little blue. So I will tell you that
that's right up your alley.
As far as meetings go, it was a good meeting.
There are two types of Souk meetings. The one where Souk comes in and horrifies everyone because they don't understand him.
Yeah.
Or the one where Souk comes in and he works the room and owns it because, well, they get him.
Yeah, falls right into line. And this one was a thumbs up. So afterwards, I was like, hey, well, I'm here. It's early. It's like noon. I'll go get myself a sandwich. So I was going to walk, and then I went outside, and I said, nay, the light sweater is not walking.
It's butt cold out there, man.
Yeah, and then I saw that there was no Rip City Grill, and I was like, what the hell? And then, of course, they moved down the road a bit. But while standing outside waiting for the sandwich, I was not happy. The light knit sweater, not getting it done today.
Mm-mm. You weren't dressed for that walk.
No, I was not.
You should have driven.
I know. I was ill-prepared.
Now, the temperature is very misleading today. Because it says like 45 degrees, but it does not feel like 45 degrees.
No. I believe Rop is official with his terminology it's butt cold.
Butt cold. Yeah. And it's raining out there. Very different than yesterday, which was glorious.
Yeah.
Where it felt like, I think it was like upper 40s, but it felt like 60.
Yeah, it was crisp.
It was sunny.
And the thing is, I didn't go get my Christmas tree yesterday, and I was planning on doing it tomorrow, and now it's going to be like this. I screwed up the window.
You're going to have to dress like me.
Yeah, I should have gone when I had the opportunity.
Big announcement.
What?
This is your last show before Christmas.
This is it. I'm done.
Christmas vacation for you begins tomorrow.
I'm trying not to mail it in. It's 3:06.
Eh.
I can't make any promises, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to get a effort from me. I don't know what kind, but there'll be an effort today. I'll try to bring it for you. And I do have to come back technically before the end of the year. I got to do Rose Bowl shows right before the big game.
Is it going to be a pregame show?
Probably not, because I think we're doing a 4-hour show. So
why don't you do full pregame?
There,
break down the offense, then the defense.
There will be plenty.
Then the special teams.
There will be plenty of Oregon, Wisconsin talk.
Then your keys to the game.
Let me tell you about the tight ends. Yeah, so we'll do that. But technically speaking, this is supposed to be my last day of the year. But the boss, you know. He's being a real
pain. He drives a hard bargain.
Being a pain and making me come in.
It's all about the Ducks, man.
I know.
He told me today, because you don't care about the Ducks. I said, no, I don't.
Well, the Rose Bowl is kind of a big deal. I think Dusty and Dirt and his mustache are going down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think the game
day. That's great.
The game day guys are going down. I don't know if I haven't been paying attention or whatnot, but Dirt's got a full-on mustache right
now. Yeah, I just noticed that today.
Yeah.
How long has he had that?
I don't know. But I saw.
Because I just noticed
it. Yeah. So I don't know. That's why I said.
Good for him.
Maybe I'm just out in left field. Maybe it's a newly acquired mustache. I don't know. But it was a full-on mustache. And it wasn't like a big, thick, I've grown this. It was kind of a neatly trimmed, I'm not going to say a pencil stash. But it was a look.
Well, it's that time of year kind of around here where anything goes.
Sure.
Where people are in, people are out. People have weird facial hair. Mm-hmm. People don't dress well.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, it's the wind down of the radio year.
Mm-hmm. I shaved like maybe 2 weeks ago. I had a 2-month beard going, but when my beard gets long, I look homeless. And
so what?
Yeah, it's not a good.
Don't you always, like, I feel like, see, I'm growing mine out and I kind of look homeless.
Yeah.
And I like that because I feel like it tests people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you can tell when people, are judging you based solely off of that.
Sure.
And then I judge them back.
See, I get that enough looking like a white supremacist that when the beard grows out, I find that people are just outright rude. And quite frankly,
they're scared of you.
Yeah. And then that's not that's not a good feeling.
But you don't want to test them. You don't want to
Well, I do. Usually in the wintertime, I let it go for a little bit. Right. But after like a month and a half, 2 months of it. And I even got some I don't know. It's not an oil. It's like a beard paste.
Ooh, you have a beard paste?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And it's
what does that do?
Well, it makes your beard soft and it lays it down. So you rub it into your fingers and then you rub it in and then you like comb it out and it lays down all the, you know, the little rogue hairs and it makes your beard soft and it smells fantastic. And when it was like that, then it was okay, but you know, throughout the course of the day, it kind of gets a little loose. It comes out of the tall grass there, and I do find that people treat you quite differently.
Yeah.
When you're unkept.
Do. They do.
Well, that's the
it's like when you don't have a wedding ring on. You ever notice that?
Well, no, because I don't have one.
Well, I don't either. Oh. But sometimes I do.
Yeah?
So I never really wear mine, but sometimes I do.
And you get treated differently?
Definitely.
Huh.
It's definitely
a respect sort of thing?
It's just, I think, yeah, there's a lot of, it's too much to get into. But yeah, I've noticed a difference.
Huh.
Especially with my wife, because sometimes she wears hers and sometimes she doesn't.
I know just
a woman without a ring.
Oh, yeah.
She gets treated completely differently.
Completely different.
Way more respect with a ring.
Yes. I have found that mine, a lot of it is just kind of just in general the way I'm dressed, especially if my arms are covered up.
Well, yeah, look at you.
Yeah. If I'm wearing short sleeves and
I mean, if I were a black guy, I'd be like, oh my God, who am I doing a show with?
Well, there is a little bit of that where you feel judged a lot. Like if I'm just wearing, you know, scrubby sweats, and especially if it's short sleeves and the tattoos are hanging out, you certainly get treated a lot differently than if you are, if you're covered up.
We view this so differently. I like that because then I can dismiss those people.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I can see them writing me off because of the way I look, because I purposefully dressed homeless.
Yeah.
And so, then I'm like, well, you're no one I want to talk to anyway, because you shouldn't do that. Right.
Yeah.
So if you can fight through that and still, you know, have a good conversation or get to know me or, you know, you've passed.
See, I think for me, it's because I'm off-putting in general that when I'm extra off-putting,
you're not that off-putting.
I think at times that, that can jam
now
me.
I feel
right
like
up.
We need some self-help.
Well, remember like when we were traveling down to the Rose, speaking of the Rose Bowl, it was Wisconsin, Oregon all those years ago.
Yeah.
We were going down to the Rose Bowl. Same thing. I had let the beard go for a good hunk of the winter. And that was the one where the little kid wouldn't sit by me on the airplane. They tried to sit her down as an accompanying minor, and it was just like, no, no. And then what ended up shaving the beard was I was at the Target after we got back, and, you know, you get the little bench there by the prescription window, and there was quite a line, and there was a kid sitting down on the bench. And so I just came over and was like, well, I'm going to sit on the bench on the other end of it and wait for the line. And the kid freaked out and got up. And then the mom came over and was like, what happened? I'm like, nothing. I sat down. And all of a sudden, I had, like, Target people there, and, like, I was like, I didn't do anything. I sat down. I'm like, go to the tape. And the mom had to, like, get the kid, be like, what happened? The kid's like, nothing. I just got scared. And I'm like, God, for God's sakes, I sat down.
Well, look at you.
Yeah, well.
Kids are morons, though.
Yeah. Freaking kids.
A lot of hot beard paste talk coming in on the Better You Today text line.
The beard paste
That's
is,
a thing, huh?
It's fantastic.
Huh.
Yeah.
I do have a beard conditioner, like a, you know, use in the shower, but I don't have a beard paste.
It's
mine, I have to try that.
Mine is the stuff I got. It's a Viking something or other, and it comes in like four or five different scents.
Viking.
Yeah, I think that's the name of the I think that's the name of the product, and it's simply wonderful, and it's like this. I don't know, it kind of looks like a petroleum jelly almost, and you rub it in between your fingers, rub it through, and then kind of comb it out, and it straightens out all the, you know, the straggler hairs, and it leaves your beard really soft, and it smells fantastic.
Hmm. All right,
yeah, Viking beard balm.
Viking beard balm.
Yeah, it's...
So it's a balm.
Yeah, it's a
not
balm.
A paste.
Yeah, a balm. Yeah.
Balm.
Yeah. Wonderful.
All right, well, the weather outside is frightful.
But the fire...
If we had one, would be delightful.
I'll light one tonight.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I like a good fire.
I'm happy for you. You get to go on vacation.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything, so.
Yeah, but staycations are great.
Staycations are great.
Especially around the holidays.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, I think it'll be Mike and I.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Ike's. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if that's true, but maybe.
Let's go with it.
I mean, I believe so.
He doesn't know either.
No.
But tomorrow begins two things. One, Christmas music, and two, dumber topics.
Oh, yeah.
As if that could... I mean,
it's possible.
No, it is possible. And we saved some dumber ones for this time of year.
Sure.
And I love it.
Well, it's like one year you were gone. I did a very Swayze Christmas where we just recorded we did four or five Christmas songs and we just redid them with Patrick Swayze lyrics.
All right. So let's get to going here.
Let's go.
We'll
talk about that hot Eagles Giants game.
No, I didn't see a lick of it and I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, well,
but I did see the Eagles won.
It's great, though, when it's a close game and it doesn't matter because you're so comfortable in your gambling spread.
Question.
Yeah, what do you got?
We're watching television here.
Yeah, he's off-putting.
Why is this guy a thing?
I don't know. Who is he?
He is.
He's the guy from College Game Day who has all like the stats on college football.
Okay. He's like the producer. Yeah. But now they've kind of turned him into like this wagering guy.
Yeah, it says the Daily Wager here.
Yeah. Him and Steve.
Stanford Steve from the SVP
yeah,
show.
Those two guys.
They do gambling.
Well, they've kind of propped them up as wagering guys, and they're not wagering guys at all.
No, well, Stanford Steve is, they've been doing that for years with Van Pelt. I don't know who this dude is, but I mean.
He's a producer.
I guess you just throw anyone out there and they talk about lines and away you go, right?
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that he's like a behind the scenes guy on game day, and now they prop him up as like, picks of the week.
I mean, maybe he's good.
With this guy. Maybe, is he good?
I have no idea. I'm just saying.
Maybe behind the scenes, the dude's just raking it. Like, he's killing it. So they're like, hey.
Yeah, but he's not a professional gambler. He's a producer.
Yeah, but maybe he's just that
good. You don't have to be a professional gambler to be good at your picks.
He's
got to
be good because if they're
putting but you kind of do.
If they're putting him on camera looking like that, he's got to be good.
Well, they must like him. He must have some value, or he's just cheap.
Yeah.
You know, there's that.
Well, maybe it's a little bit of A.
Can't afford the gambling guy.
Let's go a little bit of A, a little bit of B.
Hey, you make picks, right?
Well, you're paying Stephen A. Smith like $9 billion, or is it $9 million a year? You got to cut some corners here, man.
All right. Well, anyway, sorry to derail. Let's get started. We've got some college football talk. You know, those Pac-12 all-conference honors were out today?
Yeah, and then everyone gets all pissed off. And
we're so mad about it.
We yell and scream.
But are we really mad about it?
Well, I'm not, but, you know, some people.
You want some hot Blazers-Knicks talk today? Ready to break that down?
More than anything.
Kevin Love wants to come home.
Good. Bring him home. You're giving it two thumbs. Man, you've always been a Kevin Love guy.
I like Kevin Love.
And now you're meh.
Well, he makes a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, then you have the second highest payroll. Who cares? Not your money.
Well, yeah, but.
Not Paul's anymore
either.
Well,
we'll need to talk about that. It's 316 on the fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, what did the Patriots record now? God, we'll get to that. But first, our poll question today, as always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. That is their website, AAAIAQ.com. You can go to 1080thefan.com, and we want you to answer this today very simply. Who you got? Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow.
You know where I'm going with this.
Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yep. I think Clemson wins again, makes it to 3 out of 4.
Not team. Quarterback.
Yeah, still.
Quarterback.
He's my quarterback. Yeah, Lawrence.
I really like Burrow.
I do too, but he's a bit of a one-hit wonder.
A lot.
And he's been great this year, but Lawrence has been fantastic, and they call him the best prospect since Andrew Luck. So I'm going to go with a guy that...
Who's they? The Bear?
The Bear.
The Bear calls him that? Yes. That's what they call that ESPN guy. The Bear. There he is again.
Yeah.
Look at the airtime that bro gets.
Well, the Bear. Look, here's my...
Who's he picking?
Ohio State Clemson here, and I'm not certain what he's doing.
Are you going to respect him if he takes Ohio State?
Why would I respect him?
Well, I'm saying, because you really like Clemson.
I do.
So if he picks Ohio State, you can be like, oh, that guy's a joke.
Oh, no, I have no idea.
Oh,
you know,
that's a good attitude.
Yeah, thank you.
Because we really don't.
Yeah, you can disagree with me.
Although I've already loaded up on Clemson. I'm just.
Yeah. Well, actually, I made. I'm feeling pretty good because I want to say it was 6-ish weeks ago. I laid a. It wasn't a huge sum, but a decent little chunk of change on Clemson to win the whole thing. They actually had pretty good odds. You know, for about midway through the year, people weren't in love with Clemson.
They didn't like them.
Now I think they're right there. I think it's like plus 205, maybe plus 220.
Well, they're favored over Ohio State.
Yeah, they're favored over Ohio State. But I think I got it. I go back and look at my ticket, but I think I got it at like maybe plus 3, might have been plus 370, plus 375. There were good odds back then, and you know, after the North Carolina game, and people weren't real high on them. But I was going to say about the Bear. This is the part that jams me up about him.
The Bear.
Yeah, the Bear is
And here's another guy. Who's this guy?
Oh, well, he's the twink then. I don't know. He's got a big old beard.
I don't think that's the twink.
No, probably not. He's a power bottom. But the
that's the other Bear.
The Bear is bald, right?
Yeah.
And what I don't understand is, and it's not like you've got like Paul Feinbaum, like you're doing like the Hulk Hogan shower curtain thing. Shave your head, my man. It just looks like he...
Yeah, why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah, it looks like someone took like a bunch of pencil shavings and they just glued them to the sides of his head.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just shaved that.
I never noticed that, though. I will say, though, you're very sensitive to the bald thing.
Yeah.
Me not being bald.
You don't pay any attention to
so
it?
So you just now pointed that out. I've been sitting here staring at him for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I never noticed it until you pointed it out.
And now it's going to bother you. Look at it. Look how patchy it is. And
no, I hear what you're saying.
It's
just
terrible.
It's just not something I even noticed.
Yeah, well, like, why would you go on TV like that? Clean it up, man. It takes 5 minutes to shave your head. I do it probably every other day, but it never goes more than 2 days. High and tight, man. Keep it sharp.
Come on, bear.
Keep it sexy. Keep it sexy.
All right, where were we?
I have no idea. What were we talking about?
Well, we got a poll question up there, and it's Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow. I hope those two meet in the final because I think that's a fantastic matchup of quarterbacks. But anyway, we'll have time to debate that. What I wanted to do, see, I'm a little ahead of my time when it comes to poll questioning, because yesterday I asked on the poll question, who is the best coach in the Pac-12?
Yes.
And
today we found out
today,
for certain.
Yeah, I wanted to put that up there again. And Will was like, well, you just had that yesterday because everybody was saying that Mario Cristobal got screwed today because he was not named Pac-12 Coach of the Year. Kyle Whittingham was.
Yeah. Now, is this like Major League Baseball? Does the voting happen before the Pac-12 title game?
Don't know.
Because if that's the case, then yeah, sure. You can't argue with Kyle Whittingham during the regular season.
It probably does get voted on before the game, wouldn't you think? I mean, because it seems so obvious now.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, how does Whittingham win? Mario Cristobal beat him.
Yeah.
Whittingham lost to the two best teams that they played. So how was he coach of the year? Cristobal beat his ass.
That's why I'm wondering if the voting was done beforehand.
So.
Offensive player of the year is Zach Moss. Defensive player of the year, Evan Weaver. Okay, Weaver.
So the best Pac-12 coach as voted upon by you, our listeners, who are they're the real.
No bias here whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. 49% said Cristobal.
Yeah.
And then 19% said Whittingham and 17% said Leach. And then we've all forgotten about David Shaw, but.
I think.
Mario Cristobal really the best coach in the league?
Again,
I think Kyle Whittingham is. I think he's proven that year over year.
Kyle Whittingham's
what he's
really,
done with
is
Utah
a really good
is
coach,
amazing.
But Cristobal is a great CEO.
Why does no one try to go grab Whittingham?
I don't know. I mean, he's been at that program for he was there when I was there. He's actually a BYU guy. We tried to get him, but he said nope. By the way, good move, Kyle, for not jumping ship. But he was either their defensive coordinator under McBride when I was there. That was in the 90s. He'd been there a long, long time. I honestly don't know if Kyle Whittingham would go anywhere, right? He's from there, basically, and he's got deep roots there. Makes a bunch of money. He's got reasonable.
What's he make?
I think he makes like $3 million a year, and that
he's
goes,
worth more.
And that goes a long way. In Salt Lake, he's got ultimate job security. He can do whatever he wants. He's got reasonable expectations. Yeah, he makes $3.5 million, and that's base.
Yeah, so he probably clears four a year.
Yeah, probably comes close to $4 million.
It's pretty good.
You know, and
not
again,
like you.
You're at a place. Think about it. If he wins 8 or 9 games on a regular basis, he can be there forever.
Yeah, he's not getting fired.
No. So I don't know unless it's a desire to see what happens when you play with better toys. And that was kind of what Mike Riley said, right, when he took the Nebraska job, although I'd make the argument that you play with better toys, but you don't play with like the very best toys when you're at Nebraska.
I think we're playing the varsity.
But, you know, that's something maybe with Chris Peterson. When you're at a place that's maybe locked into a certain range of player, I get that there may be a temptation to want to go see what you could do with the best. But to be honest with you, when the Ohio State job comes up, is Kyle Whittingham's name? Is that the first one that jumps out? It just those are hard jobs to get because there's only about, 8 or 9 of them? And when they do come open, there's usually a lot of competition for it. But I think if you're Utah, you're very happy with Kyle Whittingham, and I imagine he's happy there too.
Yeah, it's very interesting where we got a few texts here. The Better You Today text line, 55305. Oregon seems to underperform all season until last Friday. Are they saying that about Utah now?
Yeah, I think there's probably an element of that.
Are they like...
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're Utah, I'm not saying that your whole season obviously is down the drain.
They play Texas in a bowl?
Is that who they got?
Yeah.
You know, and Texas is okay, but you've played the you didn't beat a ranked team. Well, there's not a team that you beat that's going to be ranked at the end of the year. And the two best teams that you played in SC and Oregon, one really pounded you, and the other one,
Beat you with their third string quarterback.
Yeah, beat you with a third string quarterback. And while I think it ended up being a 7 or 8 point game, it really, USC was in control of that. So I do think there's an element, and we know the Pac-12 isn't that good. If you are grading Utah, and I bought into it. I thought Utah was peaking at the right moment. I thought they'd beat Oregon, and I thought Utah might be able to give someone a game in the College Football Playoff because of their defense. And I think, honestly, you have to look at this now, and it does put a little bit of a question mark over the Utah season. A
couple people are Ducks texting in saying Jonathan Smith will be coach of the year in 2 years.
Well, I was going to make the argument when we were talking about who belongs in the conversation. I do think Jonathan Smith belongs in the conversation this year. I think if you're taking a...
Well, it'd be three. It's a three-man race. If you're saying this year,
yeah,
it's a three-man race, right?
Yeah.
If, I mean, who else would be in there if it's Cristobal, Whittingham, and Smith?
Yes.
Who else would you give a coach of the year vote to?
No, there's no one else that over-delivered on expectations. It's the exact opposite. Everyone under-delivered. And I think you can
I thought Wilcox did a good job without his quarterback.
That's true. I guess I didn't think about that. I mean, some of the, I forget who the freshman was that they were running out there, the kid that was 12 in his Hutch uniform, like his dad let him run out onto the field. I forget what that cat's name was.
Well, they had Monster,
but then Monster got hurt, and then they went to the other poor bastard. I looked, though, if you want to talk about a guy that basically had a better year than you thought they were going to have or you thought they were capable of, you can make a strong case that Jonathan Smith, that was the best true coaching job done in the Pac-12 this year.
Yeah, probably better than Cristobal if you think about it, and that sounds like a knock on Cristobal, but
it's not.
It's not.
No, Jonathan Smith did a really nice job.
He took him further than anybody thought. And Cristobal, I mean, lived up to expectations, but let's be honest, they let it slip away. They had a shot at the College Football Playoff.
Yeah, and they lost to a mediocre Arizona State team. And not that 11-2 is any, and winning the Pac-12 is a disappointment, but you're right. I thought this was, I said, at a minimum, a 10-win team. And so you did. You met that and then beat it by one. You won the Pac-12. So by no measure, you can say this season's a failure, but yeah, there are going to be some people that look at that and be like, God, all we needed to do was play one extra quarter of football there, and we are in the College Football Playoff, either against Auburn or Arizona State. And it just didn't quite shake out that way. And not only did Jonathan Smith win more games than anyone thought, but Jonathan Smith also was in so many of those games, right? Think about the close games that didn't go his way. It's a
probably
hell of a
should job. Have won. What was their record? 5-7? They probably should have won 7 or 8.
Yeah, because they had Hawaii, right? Was it the Stanford game that they tried to make the late comeback and couldn't quite get it?
Washington State.
I mean, they were in a lot of ball games.
So everybody's mad, at least around here, because Oregon was not well represented on the first and second team All Pac-12 today.
No. And for this, really, I guess his entire career, Justin Herbert is not first or second string All Pac-12.
Well, he probably shouldn't have been. I mean, I don't think that's a raw deal. I mean, Tyler Huntley won first team quarterback and then Anthony Gordon got second team. I don't think you can argue for Justin Herbert, can you? I mean, you could probably argue for him.
You make an argument, and I wouldn't have had a problem had Herbert been in one of those two spots, but I told you this a couple weeks ago that Oregon fan was going to be pissed because I didn't think he was going to get it.
Maybe second team because Gordon's team wasn't as good as Oregon, but...
I mean, the numbers he puts up are ridiculous, but remember, he throws the ball 65 times a game.
But I just don't think anybody really cares about these all-conference lists.
The players do.
Yeah, no, I'm saying fans.
Oh.
And they're all just bitching like, oh, this is... I mean, look, probably should have had more Oregon guys on there. I mean, Penei Sewell's the only first team.
Yeah. Brady Breeze made first team.
Yeah, special teams. But offense and defense, Penei Sewell's the only Duck. And then second team, you had Lemieux, Verdell, and Dye.
Yeah.
And Thibodeau got freshman defensive player of the year.
I'm with
Utah
you,
has like 17 guys on there.
Yeah.
I feel like this list for fans is like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it matters.
You forget it in 2 days.
It matters for a minute.
It matters to players. My junior year, I got second team, and I was pretty pissed about that. And, you as a player, you're
like... Yeah, players, I get it.
Yeah, players, you get it. But in Oregon State, too, right? Isaiah Hodgett, that guy's a flat-out All-American.
He got second team.
He was ranked by Pro Football Focus, I believe, as the third best receiver in the nation.
Yeah, and then Rasheed...
Who was on the... Wait, hold on. Let me pull it up.
It was Pittman and...
Ayuk, yeah.
From Arizona State. And by the way...
I don't know.
I can't argue with Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman is a Biletnikoff finalist. But you can make the case that Hodgins was, too. But Ayuk had a really nice year, and Arizona State did, too. But Isaiah Hodgins should be... He's a first-team guy. Chenault was banged up, and, I don't know. That rubbed, I get it. If I'm an Oregon State fan, I'm a little upset that him and Rashid Jr. are both second team. Both of those guys should have been first team selections. They really should have.
I agree. But we'll move on.
Yeah. I
mean, we'll live.
Sure.
And so will they.
Yeah. Same thing with Troy Dye, and it's whatever.
Yeah, Troy Dye, I feel like the injury kind of slowed him down a bit. Yeah. I mean, he was a monster out there, but with that big old club on his hand, I don't know. Was he? I think second team's about right for him. He's a first team talent.
Sure.
But he got hurt, and I think that kind of limited him a little bit.
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that? Do you agree or disagree with that?
I can see where you're coming from. To me, I think he's a first team player, but I get where you're coming from with the hand.
He's certainly a first team talent, but if you're looking at how they played,
yeah,
with the hand, I think that you can make a case for only second team for him.
Yeah. And to be fair, I did not watch a lot of Colorado play defense, so I do not know a lot about the Landman, the guy from Colorado.
No clue.
Now, Evan Weaver and—
Who votes? The coaches vote on these?
I think the coaches vote on them. And Evan Weaver and then Bernard from Utah, I can't— Again, that's almost like the receiver position. Like, while I do feel like Troy Dye belongs there, I get it's a little nitpicky, but same thing at the receiver. I can't argue Pittman and Ayuk aren't first team guys. I just wish that there was another spot. I just don't know enough about— I didn't see enough of the kid from Colorado play linebacker in order to make a hot take on that.
Well, it does feel like generally Oregon is underrepresented compared to Utah.
Yeah.
And probably shouldn't be because they punched him in the mouth.
Yeah.
But that also then lends credence to the fact that this was all done before the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah.
So now to something that is also dumb. The Patriots filming things.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
really
a constant.
Again, Bill?
Again, Bill.
Eight minutes.
Oh, and I've got audio. Have you ever heard Bill Belichick's kid?
Yes. Is it Steve?
Steve.
Jeez.
I've got audio.
And trust me, if you think that he's super articulate and well-spoken, well, buckle up.
All right.
I can't even imagine.
Those items coming up next, but first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. We somehow have, in one segment, gotten over Mario Cristobal not winning Pac-12 Coach of the Year.
Somehow we managed to put it in our rearview mirror, although I'll tell you what, it's going to hurt for a while.
So now let's be outraged about something that it's in the headlines for some reason.
Okay.
It's the Bill Belichick Patriots
Spygate Part 2.
Yes.
Filming Boogaloo.
So what were they doing? They were filming the Bengals because they were shooting some documentary or something.
Yeah, there was some sort of documentary, and I guess they shot 8 minutes of footage like on their sidelines.
Yeah, of the opposing sideline of the Bengals.
Yeah, but they turned it over to him, and
well, it was okay. So the Patriots, and Belichick has denied any involvement in this.
Yeah,
because
he's like,
I can't even imagine.
I can't even imagine
your face, my face, Insta face.
So because of Spygate, this has somehow become a thing. But they've got somebody filming a documentary, and the Bengals are next up for the Patriots. Maybe is that right?
Is that I don't know. Let me look that up for you.
So the Bengals and the Browns were playing, and somebody from the documentary was filming the Bengals sideline for 8 minutes.
Did the Patriots, yeah, they do. They've got them on the Sunday. Do they really need film against Cincinnati?
Well, that's a good question. Probably not. But the way they're playing, maybe they do. But I don't know. Is this a big deal? Like, I feel like this is a non-story.
Yeah.
Why is this in the headlines?
Because it's the Patriots.
Okay, but did they do anything wrong? Or did they really just have a documentary out there filming for something that happened to be catching their next opponent?
I think you're probably in line with that, but if you're New England and you were fined, what, like Belichick was fined $500,000, they got a first-round pick taken away, yeah, you should probably not be filming sidelines.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know who it was or if they even would think to not do that, but whatever. Okay, yeah, so
it said that there was an advanced scout in the press box for Cincinnati's loss to the Browns, and they were being filmed for a series. I'm just kind of reading through the exact. It said a Bengals team employee spotted New England's videographer filming Cincinnati sidelines for the entire first quarter. The NFL is investigating the matter in a statement released. The Patriots said the crew immediately turned over all footage to the league. They cooperated fully. They take full responsibility for the incident. Belichick said that he had never viewed any video footage from the Patriots TV production, nor his coaching staff. And on Tuesday, Belichick declined to say whether he had any contact with Cincinnati regarding the situation. He said, I would rather keep that between us and Cincinnati.
So, okay. So what were they filming?
Some sort of documentary. And then Cincinnati was like,
well, I know, but why are they filming the Cincinnati sideline in another game?
That's the, you know, that seems to be the suspicious part here.
All right. Well, I actually believe Belichick. I think this is a non-story. But because it's the Patriots,
yeah,
it becomes a headline. I would like to move on to something that is far more interesting, and that is the golden tones of Stephen Belichick.
Yes.
Now, this is the son of Bill.
Yeah.
Bill is the head coach of the Patriots.
Bill has procreated.
He sounds as follows.
My face, your face, instant face, a lot of information. So. I can't even imagine.
So that's Bill.
Yeah. We all know the hoodie.
Yeah, he sounds the same every time he speaks.
Seattle.
Now I'd like to play. So Stephen Belichick is like, pretty big deal with the Patriots, I guess.
Yeah. He's been a coach there for a while, and I suppose he is a guy climbing the ranks.
But nobody can really pick him out of a lineup.
No, I think he's one of their DBs coach. I think he coaches maybe the safeties or the corners. I forget which one.
But somebody did an interview with him the other day, and well, guess who he sounds like?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about how it correlates. It's just trying to do my thing, and I think that that's what's best, so that's what we're trying to do.
Steve, Phil asked you about the chores. Do you have a memory of your first football chore or one of your first football chores that he asked you to do?
Yeah, I got a couple memories of those.
And you want to share?
Any good?
Yeah, those are between me and him, yeah.
What's the best way to
build? We laugh about him now.
When did you first start watching film? Like, he started when he was in high school.
I've been watching it for a while. Like I said, football is my thing. I remember watching Primetime with Chris Berman back when I lived in Cleveland, and just watching highlights, learning, going into my dad's office in Cleveland, spending time there trying to watch film. Like I said, I don't think I knew what I was doing, but I was trying.
So other kids were watching cartoons, you were watching film?
yeah, I just wanted to spend time around football, spend time around my dad.
He sounds exactly like him.
Yep. The enthusiasm for the sport is second
it
to
is.
None.
It's unbelievable. You got to calm these guys down. Yeah. They're going to have a heart attack.
You imagine at Thanksgiving not being able to get in 900 words edgewise?
I can imagine.
And how about the fact that he's got like a homemade mullet?
Yeah, he's got a mullet.
But here's the thing. That is not a barbershop mullet. If you look at what he had.
It's a fancy mullet.
He went and he either cut that himself with some scissors or he got a Flowbee. And before that, he had like long flowing Fabio sort of hair. And then I think the hoodie made him cut it. He's always got a big old dipper in. He's got an upper.
I can imagine that their Thanksgiving dinner is 100% silence.
Yeah, just staring at each other, followed by like me.
I don't even think they look at each other. I think they just stare down and eat.
You think at some point someone's like, pass the potatoes.
You guys see that game? I can't even imagine. What did you say, Mike? Could you hop on and tell me what you just said in my ear because I couldn't hear a word you said?
Bruce Feldman reporting that LSU defensive coordinator Dave Aranda emerged as the favorite for the UNLV head coaching job.
Oh.
Whoa.
Which is even more interesting than the Arroyo thing because Aranda's regarded as one of the top coordinators in the country.
And yet LSU just got done taking a big old steamer on the defensive side of the football.
But this is now multiple coordinators from top programs looking at the UNLV job. I don't understand it.
Yeah, Dave Aranda's like that makes maybe like the number one coordinator besides their offensive coordinator right now. Joe Brady's the hot name, but
yeah, like he came from Wisconsin and he was a big deal.
Aranda, not Brady.
Yeah, not Brady.
Yeah, interesting. Why? UNLV job. I don't know.
Why is
so? That
he
means
doing
Arroyo
that?
Likely staying as long as that actually happens.
Hmm. I don't like that.
Because I saw the link saying that Aranda was linked to two jobs.
Can he hire Arroyo as his offensive coordinator?
Looking to see what the other one is. Because is
the
it
other
like,
what? What'd you say?
He's being rumored for two jobs.
Aranda?
Yeah. So I was looking to see what the...
He won't go to UNLV, will he?
No. Why would you?
Bob?
Unless he just doesn't believe that there'll never be an opportunity to get another job.
Dude, that guy's... How many...
I think he's one of the two or three highest paid assistant coaches. This will be a... He'll take a pay cut.
Well, but don't you think that, yeah, no kidding. He makes like $1.5 million, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Don't you think he's had other Power 5 offers?
I don't know.
Dave Aranda?
Maybe he's not you know, maybe he's not a guy that's sought after. You know, there are people that it's like they just coordinate and they're not kind of seen fit to put in front of a podium. You know, Norm Chow is like this. You know, Norm Chow is a legendary guy. And he eventually got the job at Hawaii. It didn't work out so well, but yeah, he was basically our head coach at BYU when I was there. It's just that they didn't want to put him up on the podium.
So, would you be happy as a Duck fan or unhappy if Arroyo stays?
I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Again, I don't think he's a terrible offensive coordinator.
He's a fantastic recruiter.
But I do think you can do better. And I think if he stays, I think there'll be some regression next year with Oregon. Simply just new quarterback, four new linemen. I mean, the talent level is going to be there, and Oregon's going to be really good. I don't know if you go 11-2, and I don't know if you are a top, 15 offense in the country. And if he stays, I think he's coaching for his job next year.
All right. Coming up next, Kevin Love wants to come home. It's 3:48 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
In the interest of time, I want to talk about Kevin Love, but we're going to have to push that back. Bumped. Kevin Love, bumped. Probably 5:15 because we have the Jamboree next, then in the news, Hot 5. So we are going to talk about him. Sounds like he maybe wants to come back to Port.
Possibly. Well, he wants out of Cleveland. In Cleveland, yeah. Once,
why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
But I was just looking at this Dave Aranda stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, Bruce Feldman, I like. We've interviewed him a few times in person down at Pac-12 Media Day. I think he's a good football guy, college football guy, well connected. But I also think Bruce Feldman is one of those guys who tosses out names in coaching searches as favors for coaches.
I know that happens.
It definitely happens. And you can tell the guys, like in the NFL, it's like Rapoport and those types of guys. And I think Feldman's one of those dudes. And so here's what he tweeted. He tweeted the following. He said, sources. LSU defensive coordinator Dave Aranda has emerged as the focus of the UNLV head coaching search, and a deal could be sorted out as early as within the next 24 hours. Now, does that sound like that's maybe Feldman getting word from Aranda's camp?
That you want that
to
out
push
there.
That out there?
Because he was also saying that maybe Colorado State was linked to Aranda, but...
Does that sound like a report that's strong enough to say that, hey, this is close with UNLV? Because we were told, who was it? Was it the Review Journal yesterday that was Arroyo and UNLV were close? Mm-hmm. Well, not that close.
No, because I guess they're looking at Aranda. But what I don't get, so Arroyo was making $800,000. And so basically you're making a lateral move because the last coach at UNLV was making like $700,000. And I get maybe you're going to pay a little bit more for, you know, a coordinator from a Power Five. But Dave Aranda makes $2.5 million base.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
So he's going to leave and take, let's say, even on the high end, $1 million a year. He's going to give up $1.5 million to go coach.
Also, is that the only place that's coming from is Feldman? Yeah, because I haven't seen it anywhere else.
Is he using it to scare
And everybody up? Else is like, wait, what?
He's a pretty trustworthy source.
No, he is. But I also, but again, I think he's the type of guy that floats names out there as favors.
I wonder if he's using this... Is he trying to drum up more money? Is he trying to drum up more interest? Is he upset that he isn't getting more looks? And I get the defense wasn't that good this year at LSU, but I can't imagine that they're like upset with the way he's been performing.
Very weird.
But you look at some of the coordinators that have come out of the SEC from programs like this, whether you look at the Kirby Smarts and Butch Jones and all these guys. I mean, if he really is that good of a defensive coordinator at LSU, a job will come, and it'll certainly be a hell of a lot better than UNLV or Colorado State.
Now, Dan Wolkin is of the USA Today, and he is commenting on what Feldman has tweeted. And he says, this is not the job I had envisioned Aranda jumping for, but wow. Everyone who knows Aranda says he's wired differently, might be intrigued by the challenge of it, plus more investments, new stadium, etc. And he said, I also refuse to believe that it's impossible to win at UNLV. People have won in that league at Utah State and Wyoming, not places that are easy to recruit. UNLV has a great new football facility, and they're moving into the Raider Stadium. That is true. I mean, UNLV built $35 million football facility, and they are moving into the Raider Stadium, which gives them a huge boost. And, you know, it sounds like maybe they're committed. You know, it's like it's one thing to say UNLV is a crappy job if it's like the old UNLV job.
Yeah.
And they only pay so much and they're only so committed. But if they make a like sometimes the crappy jobs can become much better looking jobs the second they start investing and they realize, hey, we know we need to dump resources into this. Kansas is a little bit like this with Les Miles. And so if you catch them at the right time, where they are willing to kind of open up the pocketbook a little bit more, and they did with the $35 million facility, and they're getting the Raiders partnership going, maybe it's not a horrible job.
No. I still think it's one of the 10 worst power – no, it's not Power 5, but I think it's one of the 10 worst jobs in the Bull subdivision. I really do.
I tell you what, I think that recruiting to Vegas would be interesting. On the surface – I mean, I can see why that school is a bad place to recruit to. No facilities, no one cares, you know, this and that. But if that change, in terms of just Las Vegas, not a bad place to recruit to.
No, but again, when you're a marginal school in the Mountain West and you have to take flyers on marginal kids, putting them in Vegas isn't necessarily the best place to do that. I know, but this is the same.
Well, we'll see.
We have the same argument about Hawaii and San Diego State. Why wouldn't you want to go play at Hawaii and San Diego State? Because, you know, weather and pretty girls isn't the end all to be all. If that was the case, no one would go to Ohio State.
Well, San Diego State has a good program.
They have an okay program. Yeah.
And Hawaii has a pretty good program. So, I mean, they're not garbage. It's just that league is only going to be, you're only going to get so many good players in that league because the guys want to play in Power 5.
Yeah.
You know. All right, coming up next, our Jamboree, more college football. How about that? 358 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.